Hi, this is Pastor Daniel Bracken. You're listening to Kings Alaska Podcast. I hope the word encourages you and you get a touch from God that brings transformation and equips you to experience life with people, power, and purpose. Thank you for joining us. Enjoy the word.
Pastor said I need to introduce myself. Most of you know who I am. I carried the briefcase for the headmaster. That's my job. It was in 1959 when I became what Kings calls a minister. I got my first credentials with the Assemblies of God. In those days, they called it exhorter's papers. Remember those? Some of you have got a background now, you remember those. That was in 1959. Then in 1962, I was already a missionary. I came to Alaska as a missionary in 1960. And in 1962, I was one of three people who was ordained in Alaska, laid hands on. In those days, you got ordained in your home district. Mine was Colorado. And then the actual laying on of hands took place in Alaska. It wasn't even a state. It wasn't even a district at the time, anyway. I don't know about the state thing, but anyway, it wasn't even a... And there was three of us. A lady by the name of Sister Piper from Wainwright, and Dwayne Carricker from Valdez, and at that time I was stationed in Beaver, Alaska. And of those three, I'm still the only one around. But I thank God for that time, and I have served him ever since that day. From way back in 59, started pastoring, and the Lord's been good to me and served me. I've served all over Alaska and in Texas and California. So here I am now back in Alaska, and Wasilla, the place where the wind blows. I tell you, I thought I was back in Barrow for a while. Anyone that's lived on the slope knows how bad the wind blows up there. But here we go. Praise God. Pastor called me today and he said, "Do you know what you're preaching on?" I said, "Yes, I think I do." He said, "What is it?" And I said, I had him guessing. I said, "Boldness, tenacity, and skin." And he said, "What?" And I repeated it. He said, "Okay." So that's the start of it all. If I were to put a title to this, I would say, "Conditions or Conditioning of Believers, Especially for Leadership." I have a cry in my heart to help people that are going into the ministry. That's my cry. I don't have a desire to build another church. I've built several churches. I've helped a lot of churches, built Christian schools and all that. But I have a desire to help those that are going out into the ministry, to help them so that some of the crisis that I face, they don't have to face it. And so if they do face it, they know how to handle it. The first assignment they put me on was Beaver, Alaska. They flew me into Beaver along with my first wife there and said, here's a wad of keys, and they belong to this station. And there hasn't been anybody here in this cabin for over 5 years. The Lord bless you. Got his airplane and left. And I looked around and I thought, what am I doing here? And I finally saw a native lady over there, and I said, "By the way," because we didn't have flush toilets, we didn't have septic tank, we had none of that. We had outhouses. You remember those outhouses? Some of you know about that in the old days, you know. And I looked around. I said to them, "Where's the outhouse that belongs to this cabin?" They said, "I think it's over there in the trees." And I walked over and I looked around at it, and I took a look at it, and I thought, Oh, Lord Jesus. So my first assignment, before I ever preached, before I ever called on anybody, I had to build an outhouse. Somehow I missed that class in college. I don't know how I did, but going to Southwestern, you'd think they'd cover everything, but they didn't. Boldness, here we go. Boldness of a lion, tenacity of a bear, and the skin of a rhinoceros. That's my subject. Boldness of a lion, tenacity of a bear, and the skin of a rhinoceros. I was going through some heavy stuff when I was pastoring Barrow. We were having great revival, and the enemy didn't like that. Man, we had revival up there. We had people slain in the spirit. We had people laughing. We had all kinds of things happening in the enemy. And one day, one of the young men that worked with me was a lieutenant at the police department. He came by and he said, "Pastor, I've learned something about you." And I said, "What's that?" He said, "You've got the boldness of a lion, the tenacity of a bear, and the skin of a rhinoceros." And I began to ponder that. And I didn't know that described me, but perhaps it did. But I want to build on that tonight and try to help you make it a little, become a little stronger in the Lord. I want you to grow and become strong. We heard a great message this morning. Amen. Pastor said, "You got to take the wheel." Well, I'm going to tell you, if you're going to take the wheel, you're going to be in trouble because you're going to have problems and you're going to have to, and you're going to need the Lord to help you. I don't care. When you start walking with the Lord, you might as well get ready for it. You need God to help you because you can't do it by yourself. Anybody that tells you to walk with Jesus is an easy road lied to you. But with Him, it's okay. You can do anything and everything He asks you to do because He's your source of power and energy. I'm telling you something. I've been working with the Frankson family. I've known them for back in the 60s. And Tommy and I have been going to, out to, he's been going to Casa View and Pastor Tim over here. And I'm going to tell you something. That's quite an operation out there. But it took some tenacity to do it. It took some boldness to do it. It took some people that loved God and said, "I want to see a revival in Casa View." And it's happening today. There's a church established in Casa View because somebody stepped up to the plate and said, "I can do it in Jesus' name." Boldness. Let's talk about boldness. 1 Kings chapter 18. I'm just going to refer some things and you can look them up later on. So it talks about Elijah on Mount Carmel. Now there was a guy that was bold. That guy was bold. He gets up there on the mount and he's having a big contest between the prophets of Baal. And he said, "I'll tell you what. After they did their jigs and did all their things and nothing happened, he took and filled up his altar and everything with water and all that. And then he said, 'Lord, do it.'" Not only the water licked up the altar, but it licked up the water and everything else around it. I'm going to tell you something. When you stand before people and you challenge them in the name of the Lord, get ready for a result. Amen? How are we doing so far? My wife told me I need to drink water. And Minister, oh, she'll help her. Boldness. In the 16th chapter of Acts, we find Paul and Silas in jail at midnight. And I kind of imagine what's going on. They're fasting between guards. There's guards all around them, all for preaching the gospel. And I don't know which one brought up the subject, but one of them said the other, "Let's have a singspiration." And at midnight, they started singing. Now, that doesn't make sense. Did you ever think about that? In jail, But green guards, and you're having a sing-spiration. That's boldness. That's boldness. I'm telling you, that's boldness. And what happened? They were set free. The doors opened. They were walking around. They weren't in shackles any longer because they were bold enough to believe God and just praise Him in spite of it all. Their secret to walking with the Lord is to be in joy, have the joy of the Lord all the time. Even when you don't feel like it. I mean, start praising the Lord when it's going downhill. Praise the Lord because it'll start and God will put a stop to things and help you in spite of it all. Boldness. I'll tell you one that really blesses me. I've read about several of these guys and talked about them. But in the book of Judges, there's a fellow by the name of Caleb. I tell you, I get excited because he and I are on the same age bracket, you see. Yeah, Caleb goes to Joshua and he said, I want my mountain. And I can imagine the conversation that must have gone on between Joshua and Caleb. Now, they were friends. They were the two spies, remember, that came back with a good report. And so they're over here in the corner and Caleb says, now, Joshua, remember, Moses said it's mine. And Joshua said, Caleb, are you aware you're 85 years old? And where you want to go is full of mountains. And there's giants there. He said, I don't care because if the Lord helps me, I'm going to win. Amen. I don't care how big the giant is. I don't care how tall the mountain is. If the Lord's with you, you're a winner. Amen. I am a winner. I am 88 years old and I'm still winning. Hallelujah. I'm still shouting. I'm still praising the Lord. I get excited and I can't help it. David, after a man's own heart, he said, where's that giant? I'll take care of that. In Matthew, the 14th chapter, the disciples were in the boat. Storms are raging, and they see somebody walking. It's Jesus. And somebody said, I think it's him. And old Peter said, Lord, if it's you, bid me to come. He said, come on. And it took boldness to step out of the boat onto the water, and he walked on the water. Did you ever try that? Did you ever try walking on the water? It doesn't work, you know. I grew up in Southern California, and I tried to learn how to surf. Forget it. I never made it, man, you know. So boldness got out of the boat, and boldness walked on the water. Hallelujah. How about tenacity? Let's talk about tenacity. I get excited about this one especially. There was a man following Elijah around. His name was Elisha. Yeah. And every now and then, Elijah say, now you wait right here. Elisha said, oh, no, you don't. No, I ain't leaving, man. And I think it happened about, I may be off on the numbers, but I think about seven times he tried to get him to stick behind time, but he wouldn't do it. He said, because I'm going to stick with you because I want a double portion of what you've got. Because Elijah had said, if you see me go, you can have it. And every time Elijah said to him, you wait right here, and I'll be back. Elijah said, oh, no. You're not going to trick me. You're not going to take it away from me. I'm going to have double portion of what you've got, so I'm going to stick with you. You do what you want to do, but I'm right there behind you. Hallelujah. Sister Becky, I'm getting excited. Is that okay? Yes, hallelujah. Glory to God. Whew, praise God. In the book of Genesis, the 32nd chapter, there's a guy by the name of Jacob. He's having a wrestling match in the middle of the night. And come daylight, the angel says, let me go. No. I've got tenacity. I'm hanging on to you. You're not going anywhere. But I got to go. It's coming daylight. No, 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 no. I'm not letting you go till you bless me. And that tenacity, the same as Elisha had, that tenacity hanging on no matter what, brought him, amen, the blessing. Let me tell you something. It takes a believer's, now I'm telling you, if you're going to get into leadership, you're going to have some tenacity. Amen. Not just boldness to come against things, but tenacity to hang on. And when everything's against you, you still got to hang on. Amen. I get blessed when I read about Moses. Did you ever really study him a little bit? That guy made some big mistakes. Yeah, he did. He made some big mistakes. But you know who buried him? The Lord buried him. Amen. So he must have maintained some kind of a relationship with the Father, because when the time came, it was God who came to the rescue. He hung on. Just because he made a mistake. Let me tell you something. Listen close to what I'm about to say. If you're in leadership, you're going to make mistakes. If you think you're going to walk in leadership and never make a mistake, somebody lied to you again, because you're going to make mistakes. And you're going to get criticized. Oh, yeah. I'm going to get to that one in just a minute. In fact, that's where I'm going to go next. Skin. I got to studying and reading again about Noah. I think I'm right, Pastor. Wasn't it 120 years that he worked building that ark? Was that how it took? Huh? Wasn't that right? I think it was 120 years he had a couple sons. Can you imagine? It's never rained. He said, it's going to rain. I'm building an ark. It's going to take all the animals in it. Hello? Can you imagine the criticism he must have gotten? I can imagine they walked by and said, boy, he's nuts. Yeah. Well, I'm going to tell you something. You might as well get ready for it. Every now and then someone will say, you're nuts. Yeah. You're strange, man. What are you? You must be out of your mind. I tell you what. When I started that project in Barrow, I felt like I was out of my mind myself. Yeah. I'm at the top of the world, and I've taken a church that's heavy in debt. We're trying to get that thing out of debt. There hadn't been a path. It was a mess. And they said, we want to build a building. We want an education building. We want to grow. We want to, and I thought, my Lord, what's wrong with these people? And on top of that, they had this dude that never built a building like that in his whole life. Me. And I said, well, how do you do it? Well, you got to put piling in and all. I said, what's a piling? I'm serious with you. But you know what stands up for today? A 40 by 60 two-story building that is completely up, working, and paid for. Amen. Now, was I criticized? Oh, yeah, I was criticized. Yeah. One brother came to me one time, and after he saw that the piling were in, the floor was laid, and was about ready to raise the wall, he decided he wanted to take over the project. Now, he hadn't been in favor of it before that, but he decided he wanted to take over the project. And I said, I don't think so, because I don't believe you got the vision. I think I did. And I said, so we're going to keep doing it my way. Well, he got upset and left. Skin of a rhinoceros. Tough skin. Hallelujah. You know, I tell you, somebody has some tough skin, it's Paul. He was beaten. He was mocked. He was educated. He was smart. Yeah. Yet, and in one place, he was in prison 2 years for preaching the gospel. Yet he continued to write, to preach, and to testify, even though he was in prison. That's boldness. That's tenacity. And that's not worrying about what people are going to say. Daniel is another one that I get excited about. Every day he prayed. Now, Daniel, you've got to keep praying because that's what the king said. And if you keep praying, you're going to throw in the lion's den. He said, I got news for you. Talk about me all you want to. Criticize me all you want to. But I'm going to pray just the same. Hallelujah. Can you imagine the king looking down in there, that lion's den? And Daniel says, no problem. I had a nice rest. They provided me a pillow and a blanket and everything. I just slept with them. I'm doing fine. Don't worry about a thing. Amen. Whew! Hallelujah. That's skin, man. Yeah. That's not being afraid. That's doing it anyway. Hallelujah. Oh, glory. The best example of that I have found to follow, and all these men are wonderful, but the best example I ever found to follow is my elder brother called Jesus. Now, there's a man that had skin. The skin, because they criticized him. Can you imagine? He did a miracle on the wrong day. Yeah. He didn't check with them to see if that was the miracle day or not. Yeah. They criticized him for that. They beat him. They put a crown of thorns. And I have personally walked the Via Dolorosa and wept as I walked that to think that that Jesus, that elder brother of mine, walked that thing, a little narrow road up that side there, man. I walked that way carrying a cross, and he did it for me because he loved me. He did it for you because he loved you. He did it not for himself. He didn't need it, but you and I need the cross, and we need the blood of Jesus, and we need everything about it. So he did that because he loved us. Application time. Boldness. Not afraid of people. Not afraid of people. When I was in Maine, I pastored Maine and built a big Christian school back there. It was a haven back there for witches. So one Sunday I got to church and someone said, do you know that there's a group of witches over there in the cemetery doing a seance against you? And I started laughing. I got up in the service that Sunday, and I said, I heard there's some witches over there in the cemetery doing a seance against me. And I said, I want to declare it to them, so, and you go tell them I got more power in my little finger than all they got in that whole cemetery. Amen. And that wasn't the end of it. Pretty soon, they had my name sprayed around town, all over. They were wanting me to leave town because God was blessing. We had a school that became the second largest Christian school in the state of Maine, and it was in a rural area where the lobster fishermen lived, way out in the country. There wasn't even a town there. There was a post office, and that was it. But God blessed and was doing things, and the enemy didn't want that to happen. And I thought, hey, witches, just stop it. I'm going to tell you something. No witch from hell or any other place can stop you when you're walking in the will of God. Boldness. Boldness. When I was up north, they opened a new college up there. And second year, they decided they were going to teach shamanism as a part of the culture of the Nupit people. And, of course, big mouth here. I got up on Sunday morning, and I said this. I heard they're going to teach shamanism out at the college, and I want to tell you, it's of the devil. It's not of God, and I'm against it, and I just wanted the whole town to know. And, man, I went on and on and on about it. When I walked home, when I got home, my phone rang. It was the president of the college. She said, I heard you were talking against the college today. I said, no, I was talking against the class you're going to teach out there called shamanism. It's not godly, and it's not culture. It's against God. Well, she said, I don't appreciate you doing that. I said, so? Like that bothered me. Before the day was gone, I had a phone call from the professor. And he said, I heard that you were saying, I said, yes, I did. He said, I'm going to ask you a question. Would you come speak at the class? Oh, would I come speak at the class? I said, on my terms with my book. He said, you got it. I hooked up my Thompson Chain Reference Bible, and I walked into the class. And I started with Ouija boards right on down the line, man. And I let them have it. And I heard two ladies walking away from the class saying, now I know why I've been hearing weird noises in my house and all that stuff. And that he didn't get enough that time. He asked me to come speak a second time. And I took my Bible and I spoke the second time. Well, the class never materialized. Hallelujah. Boldness, not afraid of people. Tenacity. You know why you need tenacity in walking with the Lord? You're going to have some delays. And you're going to have some rivers to go through. You're going to have some boulders come up there, and you'll think, how in the world am I going to make it? I don't know. But I tell you what, you can overcome. Amen. Delays, just hang in there. Hallelujah. Like a bear. Just get a hold of it and don't let go. No. I know it's right. I don't care what. But do you have obstacles against you? Yeah, there are people talking about you. Do it anyhow. Just walk on in Jesus' name. And this is one that I could speak on all day. Be thick-skinned. If you're one that's got your feelings out here on in front of you on a limb, you're in trouble. Especially if you're in leadership. Because, you know, you could pass out $100 bills and somebody would want more. Amen. I don't care what you do. If you walk with the Lord and do the things He wants you to do, somebody, somehow, is going to find fault with it. And I could write a book on that one. I was pastoring in Lakewood or Long Beach, California. And a lady came, a guy brought his wife, rather. He said, I want you to pray for my wife. I said, all right. What's the problem? He said, I think she's full of the devil. That's a pretty bold thing. So I said, well, we'll gather together in the office. So there was two or three of us there, and he brought his wife, small lady. And she came, she wanted help. She wanted help. And that was in the days when I was just learning about casting out devils. That's for real, too, right? That's another. And she said, I said to her, in Jesus' name, Satan, you're coming out of her. And Pastor, in a voice, it was her voice, but it wasn't her voice, said, no, I won't. I have news for you. My hair was long then and it stood straight up. I was scared right out of my wits. But I immediately said, oh, yes, you will. And the Spirit of God filled that room, man. And that young lady reared up with her husband holding her and put her feet against my desk and pushed it across the room. But she left delivered. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. I believe in praying for people. Hallelujah. Tenacity. They called me to a church in Lakewood, California. And said, need you to take this church. And they went on through it was blonde assemblies and all that. And I said, yeah, we'd love that. We were renting a school at the time, the group. And he said, okay, that's fine. But the first thing you got to do is you got to raise $5,000 to pay off that preacher. And I thought, huh? Come on, man. But we did. He left, and we took it. And it began to grow. And so the parsonage was just through the fence on a cul-de-sac. Right next to it was another house. We bought that house. We're getting ready to expand. Bought that house. And then I started visiting the city hall every single day. Every week I was down there. They knew me by my first name, getting permission for this, with permission. And finally they said, preacher, pastor, reverend, if you will buy that other house on the cul-de-sac, we'll block it off and give you the land. Today there's a house, there's a church on that cul-de-sac right off there, all built, running, and to the glory of God. Amen. Tenacity. You got to hang in there. Same thing happened, you know, I'm serious with you. There's nobody here except Susie and some of the kids that, man, I'll tell you, when we started that program up north, it was impossible. It was impossible. That was She Rock, I was telling somebody, I think, in Constable about this. She Rock at that day, for a two-story building, was $38 a sheet. And I thought, how am I going to raise enough money, man, for a two-story building to put sheetrock up in a place like that? But you know, I happen to remember there was a place in Barrow called South Pad, and they had stacks of building material out there. And so I went to the president of ASRC. His name was Jake Adams, and I said, he grew up in the church. His parents went to the church. I said, Jake, could I buy that sheetrock from you? You're not going to use it ever. And they've changed your ideas and so forth. He said, I'll tell you what we'll do. We will give you all the sheetrock you need. They not only gave us lifts, stacks, you know what a lift is, they transported it from South Pad beside the church, and we sheetrocked the entire building. And about that time, the Lord sent up to me a man that was a professional sheetrocker, and he sheetrocked the whole thing, and it was done and paid for in Jesus' name. Don't tell me it can't be done, but I know it can be. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, praise God. Well, I don't know how much I need to talk about skin, because that would be a double portion, a double book. Can you imagine taking a village? My first assignment, fresh out of Bible school, Beaver. And they told me there hadn't been anybody there for 5 years. Then I learned what had happened. The former missionary ahead of me had been there and had gotten himself in big trouble and left it a mess. There was the church. There was a little cabin. And now here I am. And I'm not there very long till I'm hauling some wood. And I'm driving out, and a guy comes out, staggering around like that, walks up to me, and he said, get off that thing. I was a little garden tractor somebody had given us, and he said, get off that thing. And I said, okay. He said, I don't like you. He had his gun on me. And I said, sometimes I have a hard time liking myself. He said, you preach too long. I started laughing. I thought, you ain't even been to church. How would you know? And he said, you preach too loud. Well, again, how would he know? He'd never been there. And finally I said to him, called him by name. And I said, I saw you scrambling in the snow. Yeah. About that time his brother showed up and was trying to get him to go, and he wouldn't go. So we went back and stumbled in the snow. He was loading his pistol. So I helped him gather up the ammunition out of the snow and gave it to him. And he turned and left with his brother, walked up to his mother's cabin, and he began to empty that gun on the door. His wife was the daughter of the storekeeper, the postmaster, and the biggest bootlegger in Beaver. I just heard the other day that before she passed away, she accepted Jesus as her Savior. Seed planted because I kept at it. Hallelujah. I just kept plowing no matter what. And, oh, thank you, Jesus. I need to read some scripture to you. Kind of Philippians. I want to start there tonight. Let me get my glasses. I'm kind of like Pastor Daniel. I got to get my cheaters out there, my reading glasses. I want you to turn with me to Philippians chapter 3. We're going to read some scripture here. Amen. Philippians chapter 3. First, I want to read 14 and 13 and 14. Brothers and sisters, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold. But one thing I do, forget what is behind and strain toward what is ahead. I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. You see, that fits with what we're talking about. If you're going to be a leader and believers and believe in the Lord, you're going to have boldness. You're going to have tenacity. Because we got a prize out there, a high calling, and we got to press toward it. It's not an easy road, but it's a doable road. Don't ever forget that. You can do it in Jesus' name. Turn with me over to the fourth chapter of Philippians. We're going to read some more there. This here is verse 6 and 7 of the fourth chapter, first of all. Do not be anxious about anything. But in every situation, by prayer and petition. Pastor has said this many times, and I have learned this about kings. In all my life of being in churches, I've never been in a church that has as many prayer times as this church does. And that's why I'm successful. I didn't learn that a long time ago. I wish I had, but I didn't. Yeah. But somewhere down the road, that was taught here. And that's what's making this place successful. That's what the, and you know what? If I had just taken time to read the book, I would have known it too. So he says, prayer and petition. With thanksgiving, present your request to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. You hear that? Amen. Let's look. I got one more passage here in Philippians I need to read. It's the 11th verse down through 13. I am not saying this because I am in need. For I have learned to be content with my circumstances. You see, the reason that I'm reading these, this fits with leadership. This fits with being a Christian. Because, you know, I've met pastors over the years, and a lot of them, you know, the very first thing they want to do when you call them to a church is, how much are you going to pay me and what's the benefit? I told someone just the other day, I said, in all the churches, and I counted up here the other day, I think there's 20 churches, eight churches, that I have taken from something and built up in the name of the Lord. And I said, you know, I never ever knew what I was going to get paid, if anything, when I went there. One church, I know I drove a school bus in order to make it. Another place, I had a business. I mean, it's not, you know, Paul wasn't talking to you, talking because he had a whole bunch of money. He was just talking to you and you and I, letting us know that we got to do it in the name of the Lord. I've learned to be content in my circumstances, wherever I have. I know what it is to be in need. I know what it is to have plenty. And I've learned the secret of being content in any and every situation, whether well, fed, or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want. I was invited to some people's house. First church I'm pastoring. I'm in college, pastoring church. It was in a great big town called Maypearl, Texas. And I found out that the guy that started it named it after his two daughters, May and Pearl. Well, it hadn't been anybody there for a while, and so he again took it, built it. And in those days, it was a country church, and so you lived behind the church in all one building. But I had a family coming to the church, three brothers and a sister. And out of them, only one of them had a driver's license to drive a car. And their sister, they got her from someplace and brought her up from Arkansas to live with them. And I'll never forget, she usually sat on the outside. We had old wooden pews of the small church, and she sat there, and all during church, she'd chew her gum. And then I looked down, and she'd have her shoes off, one at a time, socks off, cleaning between her toes, and then putting the shoe back on. Now I want you to get the picture. Now, it's important you know this, because they invited me to their house to eat. I've learned to be content. Amen. I've learned to be content. So we go to their house to eat, and they didn't have enough plates to go around. So you ate in shifts. And then I looked where she was washing them. It was when in those round tubs. Remember those round tubs? That looked like somebody had taken a bath in. So she'd scrub that plate and hand it to me and fill it up with food. Now, Jesus' name. Woo, hallelujah. I've learned to be content. Amen. If I'm eating Spam or whatever, I tell you what. That's what Paul said. Learn to be content. If you're going to walk in leadership, you're going to have to learn to be content. Amen. Hallelujah. Not only bold, not only with tenacity, and not only with be thick-skinned and be able to handle the things to come, you're going to have to hang in there, because you're going to have some unusual stuff happen. Hallelujah. Turn with me to Hebrews chapter 13, verse 5 and 6. It says, last part of verse 5, never will I leave you, never will I forsake you, so you may say with confidence, the Lord is my helper, I will not be afraid, what can mere mortals do to me? If you will get a hold of the challenge that I have placed before you, and you will say, Lord, give me boldness. Fill me with the tenacity of a bear. Develop my skin that I can handle the onslaught of stuff that happened to me. Because they will. Amen. Brother Toby up here can play the nicest music, and somebody sitting out there say, he played it too loud. But he can take it. Amen. Because he's filled with tenacity and his skin is tough. Amen. I could go on and on this morning or tonight, because you must receive the challenge if you're going to walk in leadership, if you're going to walk with the Lord, if you're going to be an example. I challenge you to accept. And if the Holy Spirit is speaking to you right now and saying, you know, you're a little short here, you need to confess it to the Lord. Amen. We're not going to set a booth up here for you to come and confess it to me, because I can't do anything for you. But I can challenge you. I can share with you. And I can pray for you. So if tonight the Holy Spirit has said to you, boy, listen, he was talking to you. The Holy Spirit was talking to you. You need to make a change. Amen. You need to get a hold of the Lord and say, Lord, I can't do this by myself. You've got to help me. And you know what he's going to do? He's going to help you. Amen. He's going to be right there. Hallelujah. Father, in Jesus' name, speak to us right now. Why don't you stand to your feet? Would you please bow your head for just a moment? The Holy Spirit is just so strong in this place. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. For just a moment, would you just bow your heads with me, please? And you say, he spoke to me, man. And I need you to pray for me. Just slip your hand up. Put it right back down. Amen. Yes, I see hands all over the place. Praise the Lord. Bless you. Amen. And if you've never made a commitment to Jesus, this is time to do it, man. This is the time to let him come into your life. He'll make a change. Amen. I'm so grateful that I gave myself to him. I remember the day he spoke to me and said, stop being an airman. You give up your career in the Air Force and come preach. I said, Lord, I'm not a preacher. But he'd been getting me ready. My mother told me when I was about 40 years old, she said, that's all you ever talked about doing was preaching. Let me tell you something. If you're here tonight and he's speaking to you and you've never accepted him, let him come into your life. Lord, let's just pray together. In Jesus' name, Lord, help me tonight to be all you want me to be. Come in my life. Make the change. I give myself to you. Now it's up to you, and I'll do my best to obey you in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise God. I want to leave you with one statement, one last statement. You might want to make a note of it, or maybe you'll hear it. Things are not what they seem to be. They're what God says they are. Listen to him. Don't take the seam. Don't take the imagination. Listen to him, and he'll never, ever let you down. In Jesus' name, amen.
Well, I hope you were encouraged by God's word. Thank you again for listening to King's Alaska Podcast. God bless you. For more great content, go to kcalaska.com, and may God's face shine upon you.